This is Ahval Online, meeting point of accurate news and free comment on the current affairs of Turkey. Welcome to our podcast series.
And Erdogan certainly sees this as a fine, you know, very to be or not to be kind of advance. He will either come out winning on this one strongly or not. So this is like a very, very determined drive. The Qatar is franchising some sort of military power to Turkey to advance joint ideals on the Libyan theater. But I think we are still observing the involved actors to still position themselves. They are still positioning themselves, I think, not clearly having completed their positioning. What we see in, for example, in the skirmishes and battles or whatever it was around Al-Watiya, bombardments possibly by either Egyptian or French-backed forces to Al-Watiya Air Force. I think it's the first. I think it's Egyptians because of the post-mortem analysis shows so. This is also showing how far these complications can go. And also regarding, I think Cengiz painted a very clear picture about where a European Union stands with France, with all these different actors. But I think Russia is still checking the pulse and moving in. Clearly quite determined that not to let go of Sirte or Jufra, as the Egyptians are, very determined. But I think one unknown in this one is where the United States stands. It's still unclear. It seems, and it can be a sort of speculation, but the telephone call between Trump and Erdogan must be the one still driving Turkey forward, driving Erdogan regime forward in Libya. This one-to-man and tete-a-tete conversation is the incentive, as we can analyze, rather than institutional backing of any U.S. institution. So I think this is where we are.
I think as long as Trump in the White House, this one-to-one relationship is going to go on. There is no way Erdogan would give up, or Trump appears to be giving up. But as you suggested, if there is a change in November, that means that Turkey in this power struggle against almost all Western powers, as well as the regional powers, there's only one power, the United States, appears to be undecided on this, and this gives Turkey the green light. But I'd like to follow up with this question to Cengiz Aktar. You know, is November is coming up now. It's less than 4 months. And what do you see when you are looking at from the region, from Turkey, especially Turkish relationship? The polls are showing the Biden is leading by big margin. What would be the consequences in terms of a possible power changing the power in the United States? What could President Erdogan do if he sees a Democratic president in Washington?
Not much really, and I think what may happen if Biden wins and takes over, he will come first of all with a team, a very strong Democrat team, by the way, and I don't think that these private phone conversations with Ankara will continue like before. What I see is that with or without Trump, And with or without the United States, all these military fronts that Turkey has, now is involved in, to start with Iraq, Syria, Libya, Eastern Mediterranean, Greece, and name it. I mean, all these fronts, all these theaters of operations are unsustainable. They are unsustainable financially speaking. They are unsustainable militarily speaking. They are unsustainable diplomatically speaking. And they are unsustainable human resources wise. So I think we are approaching, I have the feeling that we are approaching slowly but surely the end of the game for the Ankara regime in one way or another. Because this kind of regime, like the Greek colonels in 1974 and the mistake in Cyprus, or the Videla, the Argentinian junta in 1982 with the invasion of the Falklands, Malvinas. They all collapsed after, this sort of adventures, which ended up badly. I think we are slowly approaching this D-Day, Ilhan.
I understand. When we are listening President Erdogan, it surely seems like Turkey is about to take over the regional leadership. It has been a while. Himself and his leading ministers have been talking on the same talking points. And so far in Idlib, Turkey, at least in the short term, took over the lands that it wanted to take over. Now it's clashing in Idlib. Now that it expanded northern Iraq, so many war theaters at the same time. My final question, by the way, Yavuz Baydar line dropped. So this final question is going to be about the domestic developments. Today, 3 a.m. in the morning, Monday morning, it appeared the Turkish parliament passed the law which will break up the bar associations. How do you think these new changes are going to impact in Turkish civil society in general?
I mean, another
Turkey's democratic standards.
I mean, another totalitarian move by the regime, and it was expected, and it's not. I mean, I don't think that the way to oppose this and to deal with is to walk in the streets or whatever. I mean, they need to think of some other type of action. And the way they are, considering who is in the opposition and who is not, tells us already that the Turkish opposition is completely fractured, and they have no, capability of uniting against the regime. I will just give you one example. The deputy chair, the co-chair of the HDP party, the opposition pro-Kurdish HDP party, went to greet the walking lawyers and, protesting lawyers. Some of them didn't dare even to say hello to him, because he's not Kurdish himself, but I mean, he represents the Kurdish opposition in the country. So I think I'm not expecting anything in terms of unsustainability from the Turkish domestic politics. I would like to add one very important final point.
Sure.
Regarding the regional equilibrium and the balances. There is one of the golden rules of the Middle East, in terms of international relations and diplomacy, is to remind all these adventurer countries that when you are at odds with two major players in the Middle East, I'm not talking about Russia, United States, and Europe, etc., but local stakeholders, among the local stakeholders, if you antagonize two countries, namely Egypt and Saudi Arabia, you cannot go far. And this is exactly the case of Ankara.
Okay, on that note, thank you so much for coming on today. And we have very much appreciated your very important insights on EU and in different theaters in the region involving Turkey as well as domestically. And hope to talk to you soon again.
Keep in touch. Thank you. Good luck.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You can follow Ahval News Online podcast series through Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Google Podcasts, SoundCloud, and Spreaker. All you need to know about Turkey is here, for your ears, mind, and attention. Thank you for listening to our podcast.